with you tonight, it would be good if you could turn to that passage which I read from Colossians chapter 1. And before I turn to the Word of God, may I thank you for the opportunity of being with you again this evening. It's good to renew fellowship, and it's good to be able to encourage one another in the things of God. I bring greetings from Emmanuel Newport, and I thank you for your ongoing fellowship in the work of the gospel. Now, this morning, as we turned to God's word, we were there considering our position as Christians, and I spoke of the great truths that have come to us as a result of the Reformation and that clarification of the position of humanity before God. And in many ways, this morning, I was emphasizing the fact that before God, we are totally depraved and we have no hope. But tonight, I want us to begin in a similar position, but to see what might be described as the arc of Christian living, or the arc of Christian experience. And when I use the word arc there, I'm not thinking of A-R-K as in Noah's Ark, but A-R-C, more as a geometrical term, but I'm using it simply as an acrostic. If you look at verses 21 and 23, you will see that there are three words that in a way summarize the Christian life. In verse 21, we are told, "And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled." And then down into verse 23, "If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." And the three words that I want us to look at tonight are the words alien or alienated, reconciled, and continuing. Because these are three words that give a brief summary of Christian experience, building a little bit on the geometric term arc. An arc is not a full circle. It's not even a semicircle. I think I would be correct in saying, and I'm no mathematician, it's not even a quadrant, but it is a line that is moved from an actual straight line. It is a curve, and in a way that is the reality of the Christian life. We started life, as it were, with one end, with one, not so much goal, but with one purpose that was driving us and that was drawing us in a way like magnetic north always draws the magnet to itself. So we were without God and without hope in the world. But the grace of God has taken us from that straight line and has turned us to Christ. I suppose in reality, we should think of the Christian life as a semicircle. Instead of walking in this direction, we have turned a complete 180 degrees, and we are going in the opposite direction. But I trust that you will bear with me tonight as I use this acrostic ARC to bring home the truth of this passage. So in verse 21, Paul tells us where we begin as Christians. We were once alienated and enemies in your mind, alienated from God. The word alien has become popular in recent years, hasn't it, as part of science fiction. And I was talking to a young Christian a few years ago, and he was on a study program, and he was having to deal with this very subject of being aliens. And because he had just been converted from the world, his emphasis, as far as aliens were concerned, was creatures that had come in from outer space. But literally, this word alien here means belonging to another country. And Paul is talking to non-Jews, or writing to non-Jews. He is in fact writing to a church that he had not been used to found. And he is saying to them that there was a point in their lives when they were aliens. In effect, politically, they were aliens because they were not a part of the country of Israel or the descendants of the Jews. But more particularly, they were aliens from God. They didn't know the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Paul is here emphasizing the fact that there's a relationship that is needed. He is telling these people that they were alienated from Christ. If you look in verse 13, it says, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness." Verse 15, "He is the image of the invisible God." And Paul is wanting to emphasize that the unconverted person is an alien from God, is separated from God. Notice what he says here in verse 21, that you were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. And the point is that he is saying that no one is born a Christian. This morning we were looking at David's testimony, weren't we, in Psalm 51, where he was saying that he was conceived in sin. He came forth in sin. And if I can speak to the children here tonight, none of us is born a Christian. No matter how young we are aliens, we are enemies to God. And perhaps if you're older and you have never turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is your position, that you live at a distance, you are separated from God. And when Paul talks about this in a previous letter, in the letter to the Ephesians, he talks about being without God and without hope in the world. Now, many of us look at children and we want to say, "Ah, but you can't call them sinners." And I'll grant you that Scripture does make a distinction between those who are active sinners and those of us who are born in sin. We're all born in sin. But when Moses was dealing with the children of Israel, or the people of Israel, he described their children as children who today have no knowledge of good or evil. When Isaiah describes the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "Before he is old enough to know how to refuse the evil and the good." And Scripture is clear there that there comes a point in the lives of children when they know this is right and this is wrong. They choose to do what is right, or they choose to do what is wrong. And if I can speak again to the children and young people, if you know that there are times in your life And this is the right thing to do, but you say, I don't want to do that. I am going to do this. Then you are in this position where you are an alien to God. You are outside of the grace and the mercy of God. Not one of us was born in a right relationship with God. And we need to accept that this is how God sees us. This morning I was dealing with the extent of this, and I'm not going to go into the great detail that I went into this morning. But what I want to say tonight is that the unconverted person, the person here tonight, if it's you, and you have never come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you are outside of His saving love. Look what is said in verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Tonight, there are two nations, if you like, two relationships, perhaps is a better expression to use, but the picture here is of two nations. There are those who are in and under the power of darkness. And tonight, if you're unconverted, that is where you are. But the other group are those who have been translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And tonight, that is the position of the Christian. We have been taken out of this world, and we have been translated into that world. I remember making an illustration like that many years ago in my first pastorate in London. And I did what I've just done. I said, there are those who are in the kingdom of darkness, and there are those who have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. And a few days later, a woman came to me and she said, Bernard, you pointed to my side of the church and you said that we were in the kingdom of darkness, and I knew that I had to get right with God. Now, I don't know where you are tonight, and I'm not saying the people this side are in the kingdom of darkness and these are in the kingdom of His dear Son, but you know in your heart, are you an alien? Are you, as we've just sung, a stranger to grace and to God? Because that's where we all start. But let's move along this arc, this bend. Because the Lord Jesus Christ takes us out of that position. And at the end of verse 21, we are told that He has now reconciled us in the body of His flesh through death. We are all aliens, but we can be reconciled. Now, this word literally means to bring back to a former state of harmony. And I like that because when God created this world, He created Adam and Eve. And when He looked out on His creation, He saw everything that He had made, and He saw that it was very good. He saw Adam and Eve, and He was able to walk in the garden and to talk with them. And God said to Adam, I will bring all the animals, and you are to name them. And there was perfect harmony. But there came a point when Eve was tempted by the evil one. She yielded. And then sadly, Adam, instead of standing strong, he too yielded. And this alienation came in. That alienation was demonstrated in that they heard the voice of God in the garden and they were afraid. And God said to Adam, why were you afraid? Have you eaten of the fruit? And that's where we started, friends. Our forefathers, Adam and Eve, began in harmony with God, but we live at a distance from him. And there may be people here tonight, and you're in that situation. I know families where brothers and sisters have not spoken for years, where parents and children have not spoken. They were once part of the same family, and yet, if they're in the same room, there is tension, there is aggression, there is hostility. And that is what we are without Christ. There's a debt. Tomorrow evening you're going to be talking about Christians against poverty. And there are many in our world today who are in financial debt. But we are all in spiritual and moral debt. And yet Paul says, yet now he has reconciled. And the picture here is of the bookkeeper saying, well, this is what has come in. This is what has gone out. And this is the balance. Or this is the deficit. Friends, sadly with us, as human beings, there is a deficit. And the books have to be reconciled. How can we be reconciled to God in our relationship? How can the debt that we owe God be paid? Well, we are told here that he has reconciled us, that there is peace with God. Now, that wasn't done lightly. It wasn't done easily. And he has done that in verse 22, in the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and blameless, irreproachable in his sight. Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary. We will be celebrating Christmas, won't we, in 6 or 7 weeks' time. And we will be thinking much of the babe of Bethlehem. But Jesus Christ, throughout eternity, prehistory, was one with the Father and the Spirit. He was Spirit. And yet, in order to reconcile us, he did not lay aside his Godhead. He didn't strip himself of anything. But in order to reconcile us, he took upon himself humanity. He took upon himself human nature. Throughout eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ had been omnipresent. He had been everywhere present. But when he became a human being, he was only able to be in one location, in the manger, in the boat, on the mountain, on the lake. Just like you and I, we can only be in one place at one time. And that is what the ever-present God did in order to reconcile us. He limited himself. The all-powerful God, the omnipotent God, accepted limitations, and his power became focused. He became tired. He became thirsty. He became hungry. He knew pain. And then this verse tells us here, in the body of his flesh, through death. The one who, when he was here on earth, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, became death. The one who, at the dawn of creation, with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, spoke, and this world came into being, he took upon himself death. Why? Because of your sin, because of my sin. The wages of sin is death. And God the Son experienced death on behalf of his people. I think it was Nietzsche who said, God is dead, wanting to rid this world of any idea of God. But God is not dead. But there was a time in history when God the Son died. Why? In order to reconcile us. In order that we might know peace with God. Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of his people. Notice verse 20, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only means of reconciliation, whether it's people on earth or things in heaven. We can only be reconciled through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was his purpose? Well, verse 22, in order to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable in his sight. What a glorious truth. I can say to you tonight, young and old, that if you know the reality that I know in my life, where your life, your words, your thoughts, your minds, your hands, your body, at different times have known the reality of sin and have been used to do things contrary to a great and a holy God, the Lord Jesus Christ died in order to present you holy and blameless. Hallelujah! What glorious truth! The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Do you believe this tonight, friends? Does it warm you? Does it thrill you? Do you get excited about it? That there is going to come a day when you will be presented before God, not thinking, how can I look upon him? But you will be presented before God with the holiness of Christ. You will be presented before God blameless. Why? Because he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brings us peace was laid upon him. Think about this tonight, friends. For the person who is truly reconciled to God, there is no guilt. There is no shame. There is no embarrassment. Paul writes, therefore, being justified by grace, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I have known people, and even as Christians, they have lived in fear. They argue something like this. If I have a row with my wife and storm out of the house and I'm run over by a car as I'm not paying attention, I will be ushered into God's presence, and because the last thing I did was to argue with my wife, I will never get to heaven. Oh, God, be merciful to us. Now, I'm not suggesting that we argue within our marriages. But friends, The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But we're travelling along this ark, aren't we? We were aliens. Now, if we've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, if we've come to Him in repentance, we enjoy the reconciliation that is ours through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me remind you tonight, friends, that Jesus Christ did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Aliens, reconciled. On the third letter of the ark is continuing. Look there in verse 23. If you indeed continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. A number of the hymns that we have sung tonight have spoken of the Christian journey. We are secure in Christ, but virtually every truth of the Christian gospel has a balancing responsibility. We are saved by grace through faith, but we are to repent. We are to trust, but we are to obey. We are to repent, and we are to believe. We are born again by the Spirit of God, but we are to grow in grace. And friends, tonight, if you think that you have become a Christian, and all you have to do is sit back and wait for eternity, then you have misunderstood the Christian life. Verse 22, I talked about being presented holy and blameless. And life here on earth is a preparation for that. You turn back with me a couple of letters to Ephesians chapter 5. And you'll see what Christ wants to do with us. Ephesians chapter 5, perhaps we could begin reading at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Notice, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. 2,000 years ago, Christ reconciled us to himself. But tonight, he is working in the life of each and every Christian in order that we might become holy through the washing of the word, there in verse 26. Why? Because he wants to sanctify us and to cleanse us. Do you remember the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed? He took a towel, he wrapped it around his waist, and he washed the feet of his disciples. And Peter argued with him. He didn't want to be washed. And the Lord said, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And friends, as we grow in the Christian life, there will be times when we know the pain, and I mean the pain, of God pointing out to us, yes, I have redeemed you. Yes, I have saved you. But I want to take this away from you in order that you might become more holy. Or he might say to you, as he did with my wife and I want to take you somewhere in order that I might deal with you. When God called us to missionary work in 1989, we put all these barriers to God. And they seemed good barriers. My wife said, I'm not going to give up the children. God has given them to me. I'm not going to send them away to boarding school. I said, God has called me to be a preacher. I am not going to take out 2 years in order to learn a language. And we wrestled with God. And then one morning in my devotions, reading through the scriptures, having grieved the Spirit, I came to John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice. I know them by name, and they follow me. That was one of the most painful experiences in my life. You know how a dog, a puppy, will take a toy and it will shake it? Or maybe you'll play with it, a dog, and you'll pull that toy or that rope, but the dog won't give up. And that morning I felt that God had done that with me. Bernard, I want to take you to Papua New Guinea to work in you things that I cannot work out here in the UK. It took 17 years, but I learned things in Papua New Guinea that I couldn't have learned in this country. It would have been so easy at that point in my life to say, Lord, you've saved me. Lord, you've called me into the ministry. Lord, I am going to remain faithful to you in this ministry. But no, he says, I want you to continue. I want to ask you tonight, friends, are you continuing with God? Are you growing in grace? God has a long-term plan for each of his children. It's called eternity. But he prepares us for eternity here on earth. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear Son. But he says, I want you to learn the language of heaven. I want you to learn the customs of heaven. I want you to be ready to enter into heaven when you die. I'm leading you forward. Can I challenge you tonight? Are you walking with God? Or are you sitting somewhere comfortable? Are you arguing tonight, I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ 5, 10, 15, 20, 50 years ago. I know I'm safe. I believe that none will pluck us out of the Father's hand. But I don't want to give anyone false security here tonight. If you are not walking with God, if you are not continuing in faith, if you are not being faithful unto death, if you do not have a daily relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to ask you, are you really secure? You were an alien. You've been reconciled. But are you continuing? in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where are you tonight on this ark? Are you still alienated? You've never come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you reconciled? And you thank God for your salvation? Or are you, as you should be, as young as you might be, or as old as you might be, are you continuing? Are you growing? Or are you backsliding? Are you closer to God tonight than you were last week? And for Paul, the Christian life always had a future element to it. He doesn't deal with it here, but in the next letter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he talks about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we will hear the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, when the souls of those who have died in Christ will be reunited with their bodies in that glorious resurrection. And then we have this glorious statement, then we will be forever with the Lord. Is that what you're looking forward to, friends? Are you looking forward to that hope? Are you focused on heaven? Or are you still living like an alien? Are you still looking backwards? Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we come to you tonight, and we acknowledge that we were all once alienated, but we thank you for the reconciliation that is ours by faith in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that each of us would know that glorious position tonight, that we might walk with you and keep in step with your Spirit. Pray, Father, that each of us would know what it is to continue in grace and to glorify and to honor our God. Father, I want to pray for those who are still content living at a distance from God. Show them the peril of their position, we pray. Blessed Holy Spirit, come, work in their hearts that they might come to faith in you. I want to give you thanks, Lord, for every believer who is here tonight reconciled with God. Lord, as they face the challenges of the evil one, as they face the doubts of their own hearts, Lord, would you grant to them the assurance that they have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, would you help each of us, no matter how young, no matter how old, help us, we pray, to continue with you, knowing that you call us to be faithful unto death, and you then promise us the crown of life. He who endures to the end will be saved. Lord, would you hear us? Would you help us to turn to you and to walk with you, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our final hymn tonight is 647. Townend focuses us on the cross. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. The fourth verse begins, no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. Let's rise and sing to the praise of our Saviour.